Hi, good evening. We're going to call our meeting to order. I'd like to thank everyone for coming this evening. I'll start with a quick roll call. We have Ms. Rosalyn, Mr. Eric, Ms. Rena, Mr. Chris, Ms. Ella, and myself. Of course, Mr. Bro is all present. If you would all please stand, we'll open a word of prayer and we'll have our Pledge of Allegiance.
We'd like to head Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to gather together as a community to discuss important library matters. We just pray blessing over this time. We thank you for the leadership and our government representation that's here tonight. Thank you for the library board and how they serve and how they try to do what's right. Thank you so much for all the librarians and all the workers who are making just an incredible impact on our community through their service and just all of the programs that we have. So God, just give us a spirit of kindness as we proceed tonight. Help us be focused and productive. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we're going to have Ms. Rosalyn please read our announcements.
Welcome to the Lafayette Public Library Board of Control meeting. As Rosalyn, speaking the mic, please. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
I got a very long voice. I don't really need that. Presiding officer of the meeting, board trustee, legal counsel of the board, I would like to announce the following. This is a public meeting. To address the Board of Control on any item on the agenda, please complete and submit the public speaker form prior to the calling of the agenda item in order to have the opportunity to speak. Additional procedures and policies for addressing the board may be found on the public speaker form. Completed speaker forms and other items for submission to the board should be handed to Ms. Nancy Hebert, our designee, seated at the table to our right. When addressing the board, state your name, parish of residence, and title for the official record. All comments must pertain to library business in general and the action item being considered in particular. The 3-minute rule will be in effect. Members of the public are asked to remain quiet during the meeting to allow the board to conduct its business efficiently and to refrain from making comments while other members of the public are addressing the board from the podium. Anyone who willfully disrupts the meeting to the extent that the orderly conduct thereof is seriously compromised will be subject to removal in accordance with applicable law. Meeting procedures are governed generally by Robert's Rule of Order, but the presiding officer may deviate from Robert's Rule of Order when necessary, convenient, or desirable for the efficient proceedings of the meeting. Please silence all phones and electronic devices. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. We have an exciting meeting this evening where we're going to get some updates. We do have Ms. Rachel Godeau, the Chief Administrative Officer from LCG, here with us. So we would like to welcome her to the podium at this point in time. And she's going to present some things to us as far as some updates goes. Ms. Rachel, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and I appreciate y'all having me here. It gave me a good excuse to check out book number 2 in the series of the books that my son is reading. Apparently, I got the wrong order, 3, 4, and 5, and so I had to come back and get 2. So thank you all, and I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to present just a general update on where we're at with the Northeast Regional Library. It is a project that is very exciting for this administration to be able to move forward in our term. And we hope, speaking on behalf of the mayor president, that we can bring it to full fruition throughout the remainder of these last 2 years. She is seeking re-election, so maybe it'll continue forward throughout the construction. So with that, Larry, if you wouldn't mind moving to the next slide, One of the questions that was asked early on was, what is the goal of moving the location of the library to a Holy Rosary? And I'll tell you from the mayor president's perspective and what she has said on multiple occasions publicly is at the heart of it is addressing poverty, right? This is an education. How do you address poverty? One of the ways is obviously education, bringing the library to this particular part of town and this specific location. Allows us to address from an educational standpoint, providing resources, whether that be books or digital literacy opportunities to this part of the community. And then also addressing accessibility. We know that in and around that little block of located right there at Holy Rosary, there's a lot of opportunities to be able to walk, to bike, to access public transportation, as well as other opportunities. So we know that in this particular area, 70501, there's a higher incidences of those household individuals that maybe lack ability or access to a car, and they typically seek alternative modes of transportation. So again, addressing poverty as well as addressing accessibility was two of the main driving factors. And then as well, next slide, is some of the, I guess, the proximity to nearby amenities that we have in and around that area. Holy Rosary site, and I apologize, I guess I should have brought y'all a copy. Yeah, it's right behind you guys. The Lafayette Fire Station number 2 is located right next to Holy Rosary, or just a block over the Domain Recreational Center, City Park, Clark Field, the Lionel Hebert Golf Course, as well as OJ Mouton Pool, which we have kind of some plans in the pipeline to revitalize that particular pool. It is one of the only, I think, outdoor Olympic pools within the state of Louisiana. So there's a lot of opportunity there as well. And then as well as access to the elementary school, Dr. Rafael Barranco School. So a lot of great community amenities that already exist in that area, whether across the street or just a half mile to a mile down, again, leaning towards, you know, that walkability factor and driving accessibility to that, to the library, which is very important. Next slide, Larry. So just where we're at in the project. Right now, so the decision was made to move the library back in, I believe, March-ish, October, March.
When the mayor president?
Yeah, so you all decided on the larger library option in March, and then the location was transitioned early last year, or closer to the fall. But where we're at today, essentially, we've worked through trying to secure the property description out of the Holy Rosary site that has been submitted, because it has to be integrated into the contractual agreement between Lafayette Consolidated Government as well as the agreement with the nuns. That agreement is directly with the nuns out at the Holy Rosary site. It's not through any third party. So that is an agreement that is being finalized and should be signed hopefully within the next couple of weeks. We have proceeded forward with an architectural contract with 720 Designs. Maureen, I think her last name is Schwartz. Yes. she is, that whole firm is pretty dynamic. They have done they have extensive experience in designing libraries, which is why we proceeded to move forward with that architectural contract. And that agreement has been signed. She is she probably has already been given a notice to proceed, and we have a planning meeting actually next week to talk about the next bulleted item, which is civil engineering and public infrastructure. We are in the process of working through the pre-development phase, the administration as well as the library administration, and quite a few of the other entities are going to be meeting to work through what are those infrastructure needs out at the site to be able to move the property forward. So a lot of site planning is happening, as well as the development, trying to really structure that entire site for and the footprint particularly of the library, so that it can, move through construction. As well, and then the last thing is just finalizing the scope of work and conducting that kickoff meeting to really get the project started. So that's essentially where we're at, and I don't know if I had another slide. Next steps and timeline. What we anticipate, and I really hate providing timelines because, in government sometimes there's a lot of external factors that you can't control, but you know, Q1 of this year, obviously, and I'll touch a little bit about the specifics, we wanted to begin design and site planning. We anticipate final designs and bidding by early next year, and then moving forward with a bid award and a notice to proceed. We are working through how to best structure the project. The recommendation from the architect was to go through a CMAR, construction manager at risk. We are working through that process to make sure that it falls in line with the timeline. There may be some ability to move a little bit faster than what's laid out here, but I did want to overestimate the timeline so that if we deliver faster, it's a win for everybody. I think the original goal when Maureen discussed it with us was a ribbon cutting probably in 2028. So that is high level where we're at from a timing perspective. And I wanted to invite Deputy Chief Dory Brabham just to discuss a little bit, because I think there were some questions early on about crime statistics in and around the location, and I just wanted to be able to have that information available and you to hear directly from our Deputy Chief to discuss that.
Thank you.
Good evening. Ms. Gudo said, I'm Deputy Chief Dory Brabham for Lafayette Police Department. The ask from our department was to collect some data from two specific areas to address calls for service. When we talk about this data, this is raw data. And what that equates to is we have two methods of pulling the data. One is from a computer dispatched, which is how the officers receive the call, and it gets put in the system through our 911 system. And we have another alternative, which you look at a map. Now, the calls for service through CAD, it generalizes specific addresses. So we have to put individual addresses, because that's where the officers go to. Crime site is the analytical portion of it, which we use to collect the data for areas. So we were asked to look at two specific areas. We call them, by the data in the report we pulled, we call it the Shadow Bluff site and the Holy Rosary site. So for the Shadow Bluff area, and again, we'll do one where we incorporate the area itself. And to give note to the Shadow Bluff area, when we take out specific areas such as the apartment complexes along Louisiana Avenue, and we exclude the Target Shopping Center, which has a lot of retail activity in that area, as you all know, then they significantly get lower because we're removing a populace from that data set. So when you look at just the Shadow Bluff area from crime site, and you're talking about police reports in that general area, you're going to, and this encompasses everything in that area, from 2024, there's 67 police reports, and there are 44 police reports in 2025. And note that we, from 2024 to 2025, we saw an overall cost for service reduction, and then we can talk about that a little bit later about what equates to that. But if you take it and you remove the apartments and you remove certain areas from the Shadow Bluff area, you'll see that that call for service drops significantly low. And the same area, 2024, there were only 23 reports. And again, remember, we're removing the major populaces like the apartment complex and everything in that Shadow Bluff area is major. There's a big wooded area and a park in that area. And then 2025, it drops down to 26 reports. So if we move over to the Holy Rosary area, and again, this is where we're talking about with the reports from the Holy Rosary only. When you encompass everything in that area, and you're familiar with the area, there's Louisiana Corridor all the way down to Carmel, down to Mud, a lot of the areas. It's 167 police reports in 2024, and it drastically reduces in 2025 to 71. Now, if you just take out all of the everything except the Holy Rosary area, so if you remove 1512 Louisiana, just one specific address, it significantly drops down. In 2024, it goes to 79 calls for service and reports. And in 2025, again, we see a major reduction to 23 calls. When we look at what happened over those course of the 2 years, there was a lot of decrease in calls for service substantially. And overall, we've seen a record number of crime reduction across the city and across the country. So we can attribute that as well. So I'm open to any questions you may have with that data.
Any questions from the board?
I have one question. The calls, were they, are y'all able to come up with the data that shows what the calls were for specifically?
There's methods to pull that type of data, but you're talking about more of a detailed report. So these calls for service And again, it's going to reflect the population size, because these calls for service can go from anything to what we call requests for patrol. And I can give you that data as well. When officers initiate a call, like a request for patrol from citizens in that area, that counts towards this, for instance, the 79 reports and calls for service in that area. It also attributes to just somebody saying there's a tree down in the road. So when we took this data, it was just the raw data for every call for service that the police received during that specific area.
So you can break it down to show if it was like attempted robbery?
There's ways to do that. Yes, ma'am. It would just take a more intrusive search on the report.
And I think the important thing to note, and if you go back to slide 2, is the amount of amenities that we have in and around that location from a public perspective. Again, we've the city parish has invested heavily in all of these different amenities that is just right around the corner from this location. So if we don't see any of the discussion of what Deputy Chief Brabham said as a major factor or deterrent to, you know, having a location at this, at Holy Rosary.
And if I may, like, to kind of piggyback off of Ms. Gudo, when you talk about from 2024, and the numbers that I showed you were significantly less from 1 year to the other, there's a lot of things that took place in there, and I think we can attribute a lot of that to the Mayor President by giving a lot of autonomy back to Chief Truard to run the police department effectively from a law enforcement standpoint. And you saw in from just basically 2024 to 2025, the calls for service were drastically down. We're talking about close to 170,000 calls for service went down to 130 calls for service. And we talk about what impacts that. So we did see a number of every category from OWI to robbery, they dropped significantly. And that has a lot to do with initiatives such as any initiative, traffic enforcement. So we did see an uptick in citations issued, but that contact, it shows that there are police in the area. Police in the area shows through, it deters crime and crime moves on. So we can attribute that to the chief being able to run the police department under the guise of the mayor president. We can thank her for that.
Deputy Chief, thank you for being here. Definitely appreciate all the stats. I was feverishly writing as you were kind of running through them all. And I want to make sure that I understood in 2024, there was 167 calls around the Holy Rosary area, and in 2025, 71. And you said the reason for that reduction was kind of a mayor giving...
So there's some autonomy that the chief has to run the police department at the mayor president's direction. So, yes.
Okay.
I'd say that.
And then I guess what I didn't get, I heard you say 1512.
She's going to give you the handout. And then to further talk about that, when you talk about the difference in the two areas, right? You talked about the Holy Rosary area, and I think if you look on the second page, it says the following data was obtained through CAD, so about the middle of the page, you'll see 2024, 2025, 2024, 2025. These are specific areas as it relates to calls for service within. So if you go back to the Shadow Bluff area, and if you're trying to, like the numbers, Base Water Department is 2820 Louisiana Avenue. If you look at 2025, just that complex received 120 calls for service. Like, so the data, when we looked at the Shadow Bluffs, it excluded those highly populated areas as well. So when you add just that one address, I mean, it equates to this almost 40 calls for service less, or 40 police reports less than one specific entire area. So the data's really broken down on the second page when you talk about individual addresses.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for that. And the 1512, that is the Holy Rosary Apartments.
That's Holy Family.
I mean, Holy Family?
It is.
Yes, okay.
1512.
And so when that was pulled out, it went down to?
It went significant. Holy Rosary area without Holy Family, 1512, it goes to 79 reports, and then 2025, all the way down to 23 reports.
And I know that, you know, the first initial knee-jerk reaction is man, that would be right next door to that. Right? It's going to be in very close proximity. Can you speak to, and maybe Ms. Rachel as well, just kind of help maybe ease the public's perspective and the board's perspective in other experiences where more services are brought, where a higher quality of living is made available? What do you typically see that does for crime and calls and things like that?
Outside of the police area, with that aside, I'll I'll say that I have to also echo what Ms. Grigo was talking about. The more available to education, the more available to library, you see significant decrease in basic crime to violent crime. So I can speak to that. I've been in the police department for 2.5 decades, and I've seen violence occur everywhere in the city, not just one specific area. So I don't attribute violence to one specific area. I've seen it everywhere. So, and we do a phenomenal job in the Lafayette Police Department to deter and detect and even solve crime when that tragedy does occur. So, education, quality of life, there's a lot of services in that area. The more people you put in that area specifically, I believe the crime will go down if that's what you're asking about.
Yes,
and
sir.
So, in addition to
the. Ms. Frazier, can you speak in the mic? Because
sure.
We know speak.
Yeah, just and for the recording purposes.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
So in addition to the library, this particular area in the block in and around that area, we have, the mayor president has a priority to basically put additional revitalization efforts into that. We're looking at the field, we're looking at O.J. Mouton Pool, looking at making some improvements all in and along Louisiana Avenue. We do know that people kind of race up and down that area. We've had some significant incidences with that particular area. So we're looking at all of those countermeasures to help slow down, reduce the speed, but also put back investment into whether that be O.J. Mouton Pool, Domain Center, the park in and around that area. There is an effort, overall effort, to revitalize that area, and I imagine that would contribute a lot to to raise people's expectations and quality of life.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
I did have a question for Ms. Rachel. My biggest thing is flooding. When I was looking at the other properties, that was one thing that I kind of focused on. Does the area around the Holy Rosary site flood?
To my knowledge, it is a little bit on higher ground. There are going to be drainage requirements that are built into the development of that property, just as any type of development would have certain requirements that it has to meet. So the goal is to ensure that it does not flood. I do understand that the Shadow Bluff did have a small area that we would have had to, I believe, bring in some fill in that back area. I think it was flood zone A, E, something to that effect. But you don't see that at the Holy Rosary site.
Wait, I want clarification on that from Mr. Larry, because I thought the part of the property that wasn't a flooded area was the back part that we were not going to use to build the library on. I just want clarification.
If memory serves me correctly, I think the plat that we cut out excluded any flood zones.
That's what I thought. Okay. You said that there was some flooding. Will it be on the site that the mayor's planning on putting the new library?
When you say, I said that it was, there was some flooding.
Well, you, on the Holy Rosary site?
No. No, it didn't.
You said something about drainage?
Yeah, okay. Just with any type of development that comes into a property, we will have to put, that we will have to develop to the drainage standards that are required. So could it require a detention pond? Possibly. That pre-development meeting, whenever we go sit down with our development team, we'll understand what exactly are the requirements that we will have to build to. And that would be applicable whether it would be Shadow Bluff or whether it be any other property. There are certain drainage regulations that we have to, even as government, we have to abide by.
Okay. I just misunderstood you. I thought you said there was some flooding issues on part of the property that would require that. The lease, if the lease contract, the other thing that I'm concerned about is making sure that when we build this library, that LCG owns this library past 99 years. So if the lease is broken or...
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
If the lease is broken or it's not renewed after 99 years, what happens to the library?
Sure. So, and that was a concern that has been expressed in the past. We have a very good city parish attorney that unfortunately tomorrow it will be transitioning. But he has built into that contract certain provisions that will help protect the investment of the library. A couple of things to mention. If the nuns ever decided to sell the property, the parish government would have the first right of refusal to basically purchase the property. We also would, there are certain provisions in there as well to make sure we maintain the value of the investment. And then lastly, there are also provisions that speak to the ability to renew a new lease. And again, that will all be dependent on who's part of the leadership team at the library administration, as well as the library board, as well as the parish government. So there are certain mechanisms that are built into the contract to ensure that the investment is maintained.
Is that something that y'all are gonna run through the parish council first?
Yes.
For approval?
So it will be
available for the public to see also on the website before the parish council votes on the contract?
So that has gone through the parish council already?
It has?
Yes. So the ability for, typically how contracts work with government is you get approval of whatever contract it is to be able to have the mayor president to sign. And so that process, we went through that. There was a early on resolution to enter negotiations, but then there was another resolution to allow her to actually enter into the agreement.
Okay. So
that process has been completed.
Okay, so she has set the, whatever the contract is, she does not have to go back to the council.
That is correct. She has signature authority for the parish.
Okay. Just moving forward for the board so that we know what to expect, what involvement, will there be any more involvement from this board for decisions for the Northeast Library sometime in the future? I'm just trying to understand.
Sure. Great question. So, a lot of the work that was already done to date, whether that be public engagement or the adoption of the larger library, all of that is being folded into the project. So we're not starting from ground zero. We're not going back into, you know, past decisions. We're going to move forward with that decision that the board made in March of 2025 for the larger library, and we will make sure that all the public engagement that has been had to date be incorporated into the planning process. Moving forward, our goal is to ensure that the library administration is involved in decisions. We don't want to be involved in picking furniture or, you know, finalizing that design. We'll have, you know, the library administration's fingerprints all over it. My understanding is they're working really closely with you guys, and whatever input needs to happen, you know, I'm hoping that we can all bring this together. I'd like to maybe come back at some point that's appropriate to maybe do another presentation. Maybe we can even offer Maureen, the architect, to come and, you know, do some additional presentations if necessary, just to make sure that the public is aware and has confidence in the process and the project.
One more question, if you don't mind. When we approved the building plan in March of 25, that we had also recommended that a warehouse be built for the library system, because if things have not changed, the contract will be coming up in 2026 and it will not be renewed, the lease contract. So I was just, and this might be a Danny question, where are we on that issue? Because we were going to build the new warehouse next to the Northeast Library. So I just want to know, and let the public know what's going on.
Sure. And if Danny kind of has that registered and that's a priority of the library administration, I'm sure that can be incorporated into the project somehow.
Do you have an update for us?
My understanding is we're not going to build a warehouse on the Holy Rosary property. So we can renew our lease again, right?
We can look at renewals.
Yeah, we can still look at renewing our current lease. And Larry and I have been looking at properties and at options for the warehouse. So we're going to be fine on that.
Andy, is that due to limitations on property availability, or why was that ex-name?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you.
It wasn't a decision that we made. Honestly, this is the first time I'm hearing of a warehouse.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely have to circle back on discuss that further.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you'll have a warehouse.
Okay, any other questions or comments from the board?
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. I do want to point out, and it's available for everyone to see on the Lafayette Public Library's website. If you go to the middle of the page, there's a yellow icon that says Northeast Library. Mr. Larry put together a timeline back in 2021 of all the processes and procedures that necessitate everything that goes into building a new library. If you scroll down to the bottom of it, it says the plan that Mr. Larry pontificated back in 2021, which is pretty close, it's impressive, would be that we would be giving a construction contractor the go-ahead in November of 2026. And as we see here, well, it left, but it was Q2 of 2027 of giving that go-ahead. So realistically, even with all of the things that have taken place and transpired, only, you know, 4 to 6 months running behind what Mr. Larry had originally, with all of his experience and knowledge of government processes, had put out as far as a timeline. So I think it's, you know, definitely a good reality and sanity check for everyone, with a lot of the claims that are made at different times, that it is continuing to move forward. So we definitely appreciate both of you for coming and being here with us, taking your time. We know y'all are busy. Appreciate all your efforts to continue to help our city run smoothly.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you all so much. Do we have anybody put comment cards in for the end to comment about this? So I'd like to call an audible. I think we read at the beginning that the president can dispense with Robert's Rules of Order and whatnot, and I want to call an audible here because I don't want to hold Ms. Rachel or the deputy chief up any longer than they want to stay here, because we still have just a few things to go through. So to kind of expedite, which would give the opportunity for maybe her to respond or the deputy chief to respond, any of the comments specifically pertaining to the Northeast Library of someone that filled out,
yes,
can you please call those up and we'll let them comment and maybe
Mary Lib Garcia.
Good evening. First I want to thank Rachel and the deputy chief for coming here and giving us this update. It's been a long process and I'm excited that we're reaching this end point. I also want to point out, and it's consistent with remarks that you made, Mr. Moore, the value that a library adds to the growth of safety as well as economic development in an area. And I think it's great that you have, that the deputy chief provided the data about calls to the police, because we have a baseline and we can measure what the progress is. There's a new K-8 school that has just been announced on the site of J.W. Falk, and so this is going to be exciting for the residents. With the other development that has happened under the Boulay administration to provide recreation centers and so forth, people will have a place to go that's safe. And they'll have a place to go that with meeting rooms. And I can't tell you how important that is in a community to give people a sense of belonging and be able to participate safely, because there has not been that opportunity. So I think it's a win-win all the way around. I'm excited about it. As a member of the Northeast Library Study Committee, I'm pleased where we are right now, and I'm really grateful for the administration and for the police department for their work on getting this project where it is. I think it's going to be a great thing for Northeast Lafayette. So thank you, board, and thank you, Ms. Gudeau and deputy chief, for getting us to this point. Thank you.
Ms. Jenny McWhorter.
Jenny McWhorter, Lafayette Parish. I want to thank also your time, giving us some information. I am a little bit concerned as a taxpayer, as a patron of the library, who has been listening for a number of years about the discussion of this library branch, its need, where it's going to be. And I'm a little bit concerned about the fact that this committee of the library board had put in many hours, many people's work, that has not been accomplished yet, since the mayor president has seen fit to as she said in the meeting which she attended here, the buck stops here, so she's taken over.
Can you please speak in the mic?
Taken over the site placement. And there seems to be many uncertainties yet that the library board members themselves are not aware of, have not been given information about. There's going to be the possibility of further delays and cost overruns. So I do have some concerns as a patron and as a taxpayer. I'm not necessarily impinging anybody's motives, but I do know that there has been articles that have discussed the involvement of the library board as being part of the rehabilitation and renovation of the Holy Family 40-acre site. And I just wish there was a little bit more transparency going on for both our board and for the taxpaying members. Thank you.
End of comments.
Kind of the point of that was to give Ms. Rachel or Mr. Brad Bann an opportunity. Would y'all have any response to either one of those?
I just want to thank you for your comments. I do understand and can appreciate the need for additional communication. I think that's why we've been trying to reach out to both the library board and the library administration has been involved in a numerous of meetings, ensuring that, you know, the communication is there and progress of the library is being made. I can assure you that this is a top priority project for the administration. We don't anticipate slowing down, we are moving forward and we're moving forward quickly. Which is why we are hosting the pre-development meeting next week, and we have already authorized the contract with the architect to move forward to begin designing. While I do recognize that it did present some delays in the original schedule, I also do understand that I think the schedule was very ambitious. The original one that was put out 75 days for design is a little bit short. So we had to build in some additional time for design to ensure that it's being built to the standards that were voted on by the board, the largest library. So all of those factors, just considering that, again, just want to re-communicate that this is a priority for this administration and we are going to continue to move forward, and we'll be back again to present at any time that is appropriate for both the board and the public. And we will ensure that this particular project is added to our newly launched public works site. As soon as it becomes under construction, it'll be all there for everybody to see and visualize the project's progress as we move forward. So thank you.
Wait, Ms. Rachel, I did think of one other question. You had mentioned that you hired a new architect to do the design for the new Northeast Library. There was a contract in place with Zeiler. And I'd like to know if there was any penalty or cost to the library system for doing away with that contract and starting up a new contract with Ms. Maureen or 720 Design.
And so my understanding when we first inherited the project is that 720 Designs was already under contract with the library as well as Zeiler Architects. So we did move forward with 720 Designs because of their significant experience in building libraries. To my knowledge, there was not any penalty to the library or any additional costs that were incurred for dropping one particular contract.
Okay. One other question, Ms. Rachel. For the sake of transparency and accountability for the library board and obviously the mayor's office, is there anything as of now that either the administration, library administration, and or the board can do to help expedite or aid in moving this project forward until we get to the point where you guys kind of step back and more of the architects and the engineers and administration take precedence?
As soon as we understand all of the development requirements, my goal is to not necessarily step back from making sure that the project happens, but step back and maybe some of the design decisions and furniture and picking out the furniture and that sort of thing. I think that will be kind of on the administration, the library administration, to kind of move forward with. But as soon as it's on the right track, which I don't know if y'all understand how I work or not, but my goal is to get it done. This is a priority, again, a priority project for the administration. I don't get involved in all of our projects, but this one I am, because I do recognize the need for it and the significance, and to make sure that it's moving forward for all of our sake.
Awesome. Again, thank you so much for coming today.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to, I'll just, I guess, pause here. One of the line item agendas, I don't think there is, but is there any other comments from the library board on any of this up until this point? Okay. We'll move into our director's report. Mr. Galani.
Okay, so I'm going to be giving my report and Dawn's report all as one. So you'll have noticed that you did not receive monthly reports from the branches because of the short turnaround for the board meeting being moved up, but you'll be getting those this week. I attended the Foundation Board meeting and the Friends Board meeting. The Friends of the Library are going to be sponsoring the West Regional Library's Family Fun Day in April. I also went with the VBR creative representative to a UL marketing class. This is the class that's going to be doing the brand awareness project as, well, the brand awareness study as their semester project. Some of our staff came up with, they looked at the LCG website and they saw under the fire and police recruiting, there were some vague links to the library. And so we have created, in cooperation with them, links to the specific test-related resources that the library has, and LCG has incorporated that into the website. We're trying to integrate ourselves a little more into the whole process of sharing our resources through LCG. Emma from Outreach and I addressed the Kiwanis Club about the library services and our ongoing progress. I think Rachel mentioned this, but that the Northeast plans thus far have kept all of the community input and all of the board input that was decided, so that has remained in it. Currently, we have 6 vacancies in our system, 1 LA, 1 LTA3, and 4 LTA1 positions. And in the next few weeks, we'll be interviewing for those. We had 3 employees promoted to LA in the past month, so some of those vacant LTA1 positions are actually created by promotions that filled the other positions. Dawn also attended the Friends Board meeting, and she went to the Bayouland meeting and to the LCG Change Champions kickoff meeting. In January, we had over 55,000 visitors to our libraries. We had 121,147 checkouts. 5,180 patrons attended the 294 programs we offered, and the bookmobile made 30 stops and had 517 patron visits, and 36 homebound deliveries were made.
Awesome, thank you very much. We'll move forward to Mr. Larry with our facilities and financial update, please.
All right. As it relates to the main library here, our elevator modernization project is moving forward. We received 3 bids on February 5th, with the apparent low bidder being Chart Construction at a bid of $1,070,000. The purchasing department and the architect and myself are going to review all the bids, make sure everything's in compliance, and we'll make a recommendation to award to the low bidder. We're hopeful a contract will be in place sometime in March, and hopefully we can get the work started sometime in April. There will be interruptions in this building. We will replace one or upgrade one unit first, so that we will then have one operating elevator for the public, and then we'll replace the remaining 2 after that. As it relates to the South Regional Library, our renovation project is almost done. The contractor is finishing up final touches. The study rooms are just about done with new wall finishes and carpet. They look great. We're just about done. The re-roofing project went really fast. It's just about done as well. We just are waiting on some updated pricing proposals to replace some metal capping and flashing that wasn't originally part of the project. We noticed they were banged up and a little rusty, so we're going to try to get that addressed as part of the project. But for the most part, we have a new roof and new mechanical equipment and some new finishes in the building. Very happy with the progress. It went fast. As for the North Regional Library in Karen Crow, we were waiting on a change order to address the mold remediation. That was signed as of last week, so the contractor will soon start mobilizing and gearing up to start the project. I know we discussed with the contractor about ordering HVAC equipment, and submittals are being submitted, so I know they're about to start and really start digging into that project, so you'll see some progress on that one soon. That's all I have on facilities. And then as for the financial side of things, we're doing really good. For the current fiscal year 2026, running November 1st, 2025 through October 31st, 2026. As of February 4th, we brought in $11.2 million and have spent $4.2 million, which is about on par for this time of year.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any questions, comments for Mr. Larry or Mr. Danny on those items? All right, at this moment, this time, if the board would please review the approval of the minutes for our January 12th regular board meeting.
I have one correction to the minutes. Page 2, under new business, library book discards, Ms. Bradley's name was left off of the absent. So we just need to add Bradley to the absent next to Kelly. So I make a motion to approve the minutes of the January 12, 2026 regular board meeting with the correction for adding Ms. Bradley's name to new business library book discards underneath the absent category.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any comments?
Melanie Brevis.
Melanie Brevis, Lafayette Parish. I have a few corrections or amendments to the minutes. Under item 7, approval of minutes, I request that the minutes be amended to include that Mr. Moore gave one excuse for Mr. Padron's chronic absences from board meetings that did not match with what we were told in writing by Mr. Bro in May of 2025. I would like it further noted that there is nothing in the bylaws that makes an exception for military service. So Mr. Bro gave one answer to us in May, and Mr. Moore gives another answer to us in January. Did you think we just believe both or not realize the discrepancy between the two responses? How can you claim to want to establish trust and dialogue when you think you can just give us dismissive answers and think that's the end of the conversation? So I wanted to be clear for the record at the January meeting, military service was not an effective response to my statement. But regardless, even if you change the bylaws now, Mr. Padron still should have been removed last April, and Mr. Kelly should have been removed in November. Under item 10, I would like the minutes amended to include Mr. Holmes's question about whether Robert's rules requires that public comment be documented. I'm not surprised the answer is no. But I would also like it noted that Mr. Holmes did not ask if it was required to have board member comments documented word for word, and the answer to that is also no. My point was missed. If your words deserve to be entered word for word into public record, then so do ours. Otherwise, anyone who looks at the minutes will see numerous false and misleading claims made by Mr. Moore at the September meeting, but won't see the corrections made by library supporters at the October meeting. You all talk about wanting civil discourse and wanting everybody's opinions to be heard, and yet when you look at those minutes, there's only one side being heard, yours. I would also like it noted under item 10 that it was pointed out to the board by me and another member of the public that Mr. Kelly had missed five meetings, six now, in a 12-month period, which means, per the bylaws, that he should have been removed from the board by now. Thank you.
End of comments.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we have a couple of closing announcements here. Reminder that the next library board meeting will be Monday, March 16th, 2026. A reminder that personal financial disclosure forms are due on or before May 1st of 2026. And also a reminder that yearly ethics training and sexual harassment training must be completed before December 31st, 2026. Do we have any comments from the public on items not addressed on the agenda but do pertain to the library matters?
Jeannie McWhorter.
All right, same person, Jenny McWhorter, Lafayette Parish. This is kind of an apology and also a self-defense. At the last meeting, I could have been maybe considered making a vulgar comment. I looked at the procedures for speaking that were previously in effect, and there was a comment about vulgarity. Now, who makes the decision about vulgarity? So I'm apologizing if my attempt to use the, you know, pretty cliche, well-known, well-heard phrase, attempting to be inclusive, was offensive. I'm sorry, I'm apologizing. But I do make note of the fact that the current procedures don't mention vulgarity. It only talks about not addressing a particular person. And my comment was not addressing any particular person. It was a comment collectively on frustration with the 3+ years that I and others have attended meetings where there's a lot of ruckus that is still being brought up for no good reason. So with that in mind, I want to commend the board for their conducting the meetings, and they were perfectly okay. I'm okay with them making a comment to me that I should watch my mouth. And I would hope that they would continue with other people as well to uphold the procedures that we do have. And I have two concerns though. Last time I asked about if there's what happened with site, if it's sold, and I think you told me that the funds will go, but I didn't understand where the funds would go if the sale is in excess of the amount that the purchase price was. Where does that excess go? Will it be specified that it all goes for the new library, or what? Will this be written, specified in any contracts? And also, I've got a concern about real lack of input that the library board seems to be having for substantial decision making. I don't consider getting down to furniture or colors or something like that really the whole realm of the board's decision making responsibilities. And I'm also concerned about the amount of public engagement that has happened and that may happen in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Melody Brevis.
Melanie Brevis, Lafayette Parish. At the August 4th, 2025 Board of Control meeting, Alan Moore asserted twice that there had in the past been inappropriate material in the children's section. We recently filed a PRR and requested a list of all books or other materials moved from the children's section to other sections of the library. Title, date, move, and why it was sexually explicit or inappropriate. We requested a list of the dates that these materials were reviewed in open public meeting and by Board of Control majority vote identified as sexually explicit. Per Louisiana Revised Statute 25225 under Section C, sexually explicit materials are library materials that the Library Board of Control has, through majority vote in an open meeting, identified as sexually explicit material pursuant to a request for reconsideration. This statute does not allow for the library director or any board member to just willy-nilly move a book because someone complained about it. The library does not have the authority to do that. The response we received from Mr. Bro to our PRR was that there were no documents that matched our inquiry. So at this point, we request the following. If Mr. Moore is talking about books that do not meet the definition of sexually explicit, but were still somehow, in his opinion, inappropriate, please provide a detailed explanation of each book and why, because there are certain members of the public and board who have stated on multiple occasions that it was sexually explicit or pornographic materials that were in the children's section that needed to be moved. The three titles that Ms. Chance mentioned in the June 2025 meeting were Lawn Boy, Genderqueer, and Fun Home. As she stated, none of these three books were ever in the children's section. Why can't the board admit that? Why? Is it because they will then be forced to admit that Mr. Moore was not accurate when he said at a public meeting in his capacity as a board member that there were at one time inappropriate materials in the children's section? Is it because you don't want to contradict claims by people like Corey Grimley or Greg Erdogan, who have both said that there is porn in the children's section of the library, even though library policies do not allow for the purchase of materials meeting the definition of pornographic for any section of the library? In general, it is only after we library supporters push back that facts are acknowledged. Just like when Lynette Mejia pointed out last year in January how Mr. Kelly didn't call for public comment after one of the agenda items scheduled for a vote and was told by Mr. Bro that yes, he did. It took Lynette watching the tape and confirming that no, he didn't, and then an ethics complaint filed for you guys to do the right thing. If you want to build trust, acknowledge when you're wrong instead of always trying to correct us in an attempt to come out on top and have the last word. Thank you.
End of comments.
All righty. Ms. Rena, would you close us in prayer as we adjourn?
Sure.
You all please stand.
Father, we thank you for this evening and this opportunity to serve our community. And I thank you for those who have showed up from the community, taken away time from their homes and their loved ones to be here and to speak out about the things they're passionate about, making our community safer and a better place for all. Please be with us in our travels home. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.